Glory to God. Hallelujah. Now, I'm just going to jump in the middle of this so that I don't read it all tonight. But in John chapter 8, I'll begin at verse 56. Jesus is speaking here, and he says, verse 56, "Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day." Now he's talking to the Jews. "Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad." Then the Jews said to him, "Yeah, you are not yet 50 years old, and you have seen Abraham?" Verse 58. Jesus said to them, before I read it, they couldn't handle what he's about to say. They couldn't handle it. Jesus said to them, "Most assuredly I say to you," finish reading it. Say it again. "Before Abraham was," past tense. "Before Abraham was, I am." 10 trillion years ago, Jesus was still "I am." 10 trillion years from now, he'll still be "I am." Wow. Glory to God. Moses wanted to know, "Lord, who am I going to tell the Jews that sent me?" He didn't want to go back to Egypt anyway, so he was looking for excuses. How many of you know God doesn't accept excuses when he tells you to do something? You just need to go ahead and be obedient and do what he tells you to do. Save yourself some trouble. Amen. And just go ahead and obey him. But God told him to tell him that I am sent you. Amen. "And we serve the great I am." Glory to God. Amen. Now, I wanted to share that with you. Now, let's go back over to 1 John. And I like the way the New Living Translation says this verse 1. He says, "We proclaim to you the one who existed from the beginning, whom we have heard and seen. We saw him with our own eyes and touched him with our own hands. He is the word of life." Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Let me read verse 2 to you, then we're going to move on. He says, "The life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested to us." Glory be to God. The Apostle John here is describing Jesus to the church. He knew he was real. He knew that he was the Son of God. Hallelujah. Amen. All righty. Well, I just want to touch on that a little bit. Now, let's go on over to chapter 2. Now, you hopefully you remember some from chapter 1 from last week. but I want to move right along. Now, in chapter 2, now John was making a point. He was trying to get the church to see something. And, you know, see how I want to say this. We need to learn from the mistake of others. When we look into the Word of God, for, see, here's the thing about God. He doesn't hide the folks' sins. The folks in the Bible, for example, David messed up big time. God didn't sweep that under the rug. We know about it. Even Abraham messed up. We know about it. Moses got mad, upset. And I believe that's the reason he didn't get to go into the promised land. But Joshua did. Aren't you glad that God forgives sins? Amen. Oh, thank God. He forgives us our sins. But now listen at what he says here in verse 2. He says, "My little children, these things I write to you that you may not sin." He says, "I'm writing this to you so that you will not live a life of sin, of habitually sinning." We're living in a time now where many in the church think it's okay. You know, as long as I'm going to church, and as long as I'm giving a little money in the church and doing a few things in the church, I think I'm okay, and I can live any way I want to, sleep with whoever I want to sleep with, you know, do whatever my flesh is telling me to do. Well, no, it doesn't work that way. So he's saying, look, my little children, these things I write to you that you may not sin. People that love God should not want to sin. We should want to live a godly life. But I'm so glad. Let me finish it. He said, and if anyone sins, he have a what? An advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Oh, glory be to God. I said, glory be to God. I'm so glad to know that if I do miss it, there's a way out. But my intention should not be to live a life that's not pleasing to God, and I know it's not pleasing to God, but yet I do it anyway. My heart should be to please Him with my life. Amen. So he says, if we do mess up, if we do sin, then we have an advocate with the Father. The Greek word there for advocate is parakletos. I guess I'm pronouncing it right. If I'm not, I'm close. Listen at this. One of the meanings of this word advocate is that we have an intercessor. Jesus Christ is our intercessor. Hallelujah. And also, another meaning of this same word is comforter. So let's deal with comforter first. Go back to the Gospel of John, chapter 14. I think I got this right. Put it on the screen for me. If I'm off a little bit, y'all help me and we'll find it. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. 1 Corinthians 10, 13. I want you to see something. All right, here it is. Listen at this. Look at this. It says, "No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man." Now you need to remember that. But God is what?
Faithful.
He is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also do what?
Make a way of
escape that you may be able to bear it. Look at somebody and tell them this. Say, you can handle anything through Christ. Because he just told us that there's no temptation that's coming our way that we cannot handle, that we cannot conquer. Amen. Now, did I tell you John, the Gospel of John 14? If I didn't, I meant to. All right, now look at verse 12. He says, "Most assuredly," Jesus is speaking here, "I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it." Hallelujah. Now look at verse 15. "If you love me," do what?
"Keep my commandments."
If you love me, keep my commandments. "And I will pray to Father, and he will give you" what? "Another comforter." And I'm reading from the New King James Bible, which says "another helper," "that he may abide with you forever." Glory to God. In other words, what Jesus was saying here, you can say it this way: I will pray the Father, and he will give you another advocate. Someone to go right along with you and help you, intercede for you, stand in the gap for you. Let's read on. I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, that is the Holy Spirit, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor know him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. At the time he was telling them this, the Holy Spirit had not was not dwelling on the inside of them, but he was with them. And listen to what he said. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. Now, listen to this for a moment. We as Christians have the Holy Spirit in us and with us. Now, we just read in 1 Corinthians 10:13 that there is no temptation taken us but such as common to man. And God will not allow us to be tempted beyond what we're able to bear. But we're with the temptation, do what? Make a way of escape. That's what the Holy Ghost does. Like the song says, and he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. See, that's the reason, folks, and we're going to get back over to 1 John, but that's the reason it's important for us to walk with God, stay close to God, because you never know what's coming down the pipe. But we do have 1 Corinthians 10:13, which says nothing will overtake us and defeat us if we are walking with God, if we are listening to God, if we are being obedient to his word. God's going to make a way. A door is going to open somewhere that we can walk through to the other side. Hallelujah. We have someone here to lead us and to guide us. And we need to always reverence him. Reverence him. That's the reason the Bible tells us don't grieve the Holy Spirit. He can be grieved when he sees us doing things and saying things we shouldn't be saying and acting in ways we shouldn't act, because that's the reason he is called holy. He is the Holy Spirit. He is the Spirit of God. And so we shouldn't do any. If you're born again, he's with you. So you shouldn't take. We shouldn't take him places he shouldn't be, and we shouldn't be either.
Amen. Amen.
If it's anything that the Church of Jesus Christ needs today, it is to be able to hear God. To be able to be sensitive to that still small voice, I like to call it sometimes, right on the inside of us, where he's trying to lead us, he's trying to guide us, he's trying to protect us. We don't know how many times that God has kept us from something bad, and we don't even know about it. We probably all have some close calls we can talk about, but they were just that, close calls. They didn't take us out. Amen. Amen. Some folks are so caught up with trying to figure things out for themselves, and they will not allow God to get involved in the situation. He's the one that knows all things, and he knows what is best for me. He knows what's best for us. And Jesus said, if we love him, do what? Keep his commandment. If we love him, obey him, and we'll stay out of trouble. I'm not saying there won't be some tough times. There won't be some even some hard times. But we know he will lead us and he will guide us because we're listening to him. We're reading his word. We're spending time with him. We want to hear from him. Hallelujah. You know, if you're heavy in debt right now, God knows how to get you out.
That's right.
Amen. Amen. And one of the first ways is to start giving if you're not already. And if you are giving and you still having some financial problem, you stay close to God. You stay in the word of God. You keep the word of God coming out of your mouth.
Yes.
Stay sensitive to God's direction.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
I don't want to be traveling away from my blessings.
Amen.
We don't want to be going in the wrong direction. Because we think that's what we need to do. Everything that seems the best ain't always the best either.
Amen.
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 All right. Well, let's go back for a little while longer. Praise God. Now, let's go back to 1 John. Verse 1 again of chapter 2. My little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. In other words, not only is the Holy Spirit our comforter because they're the same Greek word, but we also have an intercessor, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Glory to God. I said, glory to God. Jesus is the one that's standing in the gap for us in the presence of the Father. Hallelujah. Even when we miss it like we covered last time, 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, that's the first chapter, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, because we have an advocate with the Father. You hear me?
Amen.
I say we have an advocate with the Father.
Amen.
Jesus Christ, the righteous. He is on my side. He is on your side. But let's obey his word. If we love him, let's keep his commandments.
Amen.
But if we do slip, let's deal with it quickly.
Amen. That's right.
I say let's deal with it quickly. If a husband and a wife is having some differences, arguing, fussing, whatever, you know what's a good thing to do? Go ahead and settle it before you go to bed. Now somebody out there ought to say, that's good preaching, Pastor Jay. I didn't say it was easy to do. Sometime you need to make a decision. We're not going to sleep till we settle this. First of all, let's pray together. Yeah, Pastor, I hear what you're saying, but that sure ain't easy. I don't know. I like to pout. I like to give him the silent treatment. But you know what? We need to go ahead and settle those issues. We used to sing a song around here. We don't sing it anymore. It's been a while. What God has for me is for me. Y'all remember, don't you? What God has for me is for me. Well, you know, God has some stuff. He has some good things for me. Brother Bobby, what he has for me, I want it. Because it's mine. It's mine. But it's up to me whether I get it or not. If I'm acting ugly, I might mess things up. I might need to get some things right. Hallelujah. Y'all still here? Let's go to Romans chapter 8. My goodness, time's flying. Well, we don't have to be in a hurry, do we? Should the Lord tarry, we can jump right back in this next week. Romans chapter 8. I'll pick it up at verse 31. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Folks, that's powerful. If God is for us, and he is, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him, that's with his son, also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore, also risen. Now listen to this. Who is even at the right hand of God? Finish that. Who also makes intercession for us. He's our advocate. And he goes on to say, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation? If you're going through tribulation, he still loves you. He's still on your side. He's on our side. And he's making intercession for us. Don't you let anything stop you from doing God's will and pleasing God. There are many distractions out there. Amen. There are many things that out there that tickles the ears. Tickle the ears. Sound good to the ears. But it's not truth. Word of God says even the devil would dress up in sheep's clothing because he's a master deceiver. But just because he looked like a sheep doesn't make him a sheep. And that's the reason we got to walk close to God so we're able to discern, as it says in Hebrews, be able to discern both good and evil. I tell you what, my goodness, hallelujah. But let me say this. That's the reason. Are you listening to me? That's the reason we have the Holy Spirit on the inside of us. That's the reason we have the Comforter on the inside of us. So that even if the wolf shows up in sheep's clothing, and you looking at him or her with your natural eyes, and your natural eyes tell you, oh, that's a sheep. That's sheep. Bah, sheep. But your heart tells you that's a wolf. Yeah. Why? Because you have the Spirit of God living on the inside of you. And when you're walking, now if you're out there half in and half out, straddling the fence, doing your own thing, you may miss it. But if you're walking with God, you'll be able to recognize, you know, and you may not even know the details, but you will know, something ain't right here. That's the reason we have the Holy Spirit, to lead us, to guide us, and to show us things to come. I've been places, I've been around people, and you know, all of a sudden I feel it on the inside. Something ain't right about this person. Now, I don't just go and say, hey, you ain't nothing but the devil. You blah, 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 blah. No, sometimes you just need to be quiet and just watch yourself. Watch yourself. Stay close to God. Stay in His Word. Know that you have the Comforter on the inside of you. Hallelujah. What verse did I stop at? Okay, verse 35, right? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation? See, the Bible never tells us we wouldn't have some tribulation from time to time. Matter of fact, Jesus said in the world, you'll have it. But he said, do what? You know what he said next? Be of good cheer. Why did he say that? He said, because I've overcome the world. I've overcome the world. Amen. So who shall separate us from Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are what? We are what? We are more than conquerors. How? Through Him who loves us. You ever notice when the Bible tells you things like we're more than conquerors, we have the victory, you know, and all, but it always points us back to Jesus. It's through Him. It's through Him. It's through Him. Glory to God. He is our intercessor, our advocate. And we just read it in John. He told us if you ask anything, He says, I'll do it. Or if you ask anything in my name, it'll be done for you because you're walking with me. Now, you know, we just don't go around asking off the cuff stuff, you know, blah, blah, stuff that don't line up with the Word of God and all that. No, He's not answering that. I'm just going to have to quit right here, but let me finish these last three verses. Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded. Now, let me ask you a question. You don't even have to respond, but just ask yourself, are you persuaded? Are you persuaded? Pastor Chip Brim, Billy Brim's son, I think he wrote a book, if I'm not mistaken, and I think the title of it is All In. Anybody have that book, read that book? All In? Are you all in? He was a coach, and if you're gonna play football or whatever, you need to be all in. But you know what? When it comes to the things of God, you need to be all in. You need to be fully persuaded. He says, "For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come." Give me the next verse, please. Hallelujah. Verse 39 on the screen. Hallelujah. Nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing. In other words, absolutely nothing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in who?
Christ
Jesus, our Lord, our advocate, our intercessor. Glory to God. I said glory to God. I didn't get very far in 1 John 2nd chapter, but we'll come back here again. Praise the name of the Lord. If we do our part, God will certainly do his. If we'll follow his instructions, we'll get the desired results. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. Father, we thank you for your word that will never return to you void. Father, I pray that it gets the words that's been ministered here tonight will get down into the hearts of the hearers, Father God, changing their life. May they be fully persuaded that you're going to do what you said you would do. May they be fully committed to obey you and to walk with you. And if they slip up, quickly repenting and confessing their sins and moving on. That's what you told us to do, Father. That's what you told us to do. Thank you, Father, for your faithfulness. Thank you, Father, for your love. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Amen. If you're watching us tonight and you have not received Jesus Christ as your Lord and as your Savior, I want to extend this invitation to you right now. I'm going to ask you to pray this prayer with me. Say, Lord Jesus, I believe that you are the only begotten Son of God. I believe you came to this earth, lived, died on the cross, buried, and rose again so that I could be saved. Lord Jesus, I invite you into my heart. Come on, say this with me. Say, Lord Jesus, I invite you into my heart as my Lord and as my Savior. Forgive me for my sins. Thank you, Jesus. I receive your forgiveness right now. And right now, I call you Lord. I call you my Lord and my Savior. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving me and making me one of your children. Amen. Praise God. If you prayed that prayer, contact us. There should be some information on the screen. Contact us and let us know that you gave your life to Jesus Christ. We want to know. Hallelujah. If anyone watching and you sick in your body, I'm just asking you right now to release your faith to receive healing for your body. I want to pray for you. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, touch them from the top of their heads to the soles of their feet. Bring total healing to their bodies. Lord, you are a miracle worker, and you still work miracles today. And we give you glory, and we give you praise. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Praise God. We'd love to hear from you as well. We want to hear your testimony of what God has done in your body. Amen. So glad you joined us for the service, and I invite you to join us again for our next service. And in the meantime, have yourself a great day. Bye-bye. God, hallelujah.